I'm back. Yeah, I didn't see that coming, did you? I thought about doing some kind of crazy wardrobe change, but everybody said that's not a good idea. I was thinking about doing a beard or taking off my pants. No, just kidding. Not going to do that. That'd be really weird and awkward for you all. It'd be fine for me. But hey, let me first just take some time and welcome the venues. We've got online, we've got East. So thank you guys for joining us this morning. We're excited about what's going to be happening in 2020. And most of our pastoral staff is on vacation. And so I'm the sucker, pastor. They got called up, and no, I'm really honored. I'm excited about what God's doing, and I get a chance to talk, and I have a lot built up over a year, so we could be here all day long. No, just kidding. We'll get out on time, I promise. Hopefully Mark is taking some well-earned time, and he's not checking email. He says he's going to be watching this morning, so hi, Mark. What's happening? I'm going to mess things up. No, just kidding. So so you know, kind of a little bit about me. So I've realized in 2019 that I really like energy drinks. I've never really had them. My son actually turned me on to them, and so I started drinking. I realized that having a Starbucks coffee and then an energy drink does weird things in my body, and it causes me to get a little excited. So I've had an energy drink this morning, and so I feel ready. I feel pumped. But we just recently went on vacation, and we drove from here to Portland, and I thought, well, man, I might need an energy drink. So I took an energy drink with me. Well, I didn't need it because my wife and we talked, like, I think the whole entire time going to Portland, which was good. You know, we got caught up on whatever. I don't even remember our conversation. Sorry. When we got there, we were getting ready to go through our fun security check. And I pull out this energy drink. I'm like, sweet, I didn't drink it. So I get to drink it on the plane. I'm like, my wife's like, Scott, no, you can't take that through security. I'm like, right, I can't do that. I was like, well, I'm drinking the thing because I also am a saver. And $2.50 is a big deal in my life. And so I chugged the thing, and my wife's like going, that is not a good idea. I mean, I think, I was like, oh, yeah, I feel good, I'm good. You know, because usually I sip them, like, throughout the day, and this one I just chug, right? Done. I'm done, and I'm good. Well, then my daughter, Chloe, is like, she's shaking her head at me right now. She's like going, hey, maybe we'll see Peter along the way. Okay, not Peter, our safety guy that's lead here, but Peter from The Bachelorette. Yes, I have watched some episodes of The Bachelorette. I'm ashamed. Okay, get it over with. Okay, we're done. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to help her out. Even though we were with Alaska Airlines, you know, and he's with Delta, so, you know, but I thought maybe there's a chance. So every pilot that we saw, I'm like, hey, Peter! Well, the first time was funny. Like, I think my kids thought, that's funny. Well, by the fifth, or you know how many pilots there are in an airport? There are a lot, unbeknownst to me. I never really noticed them until you're really looking, right? And there was a lot. And so I was saying, well, I think my son Lucas thought it was really funny. My wife and my daughters did not think it was so funny. Pretty soon they're like, stop it, stop it. But I just kept saying, I think there was one that looked at me and acknowledged me. He was not Peter, but maybe he was a Peter. I don't know, but it was fun, and I like to have fun, so that's what we're going to do a little bit today. And we do a lot of silly things, right? And so when we look back over 2019, there's a lot of silly things that we've done, sometimes not so silly to other people, but silly to us. And so this morning, we're going to be going to the future. We're going to be looking to the future, not back to the future, although we are going to look a little bit into our past, because I think it's important that we look into our past so that we can use those things that we've done to catapult us forward to the future. And so we're going to jump into scripture real quick. We are going to be gleaning from a passage in Philippians chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, and I failed to mention that normally at this time you would say, hey, if you want to follow along, get out your bulletin, and there's notes. Well, there's not really notes. So there is a piece of paper, though. And so you can write things that you've gleaned from this passage right here, or you can draw pretty pictures. And if you do that, just come show me later. No one did first hour. I was really disappointed. I thought I'd see some really cool artwork done on what God has done in 2019 in your life. But anyway, so that's just a freebie for you. Somebody really went to great lengths to do that, hole punched it and everything. So use it. So verse 12, it says this. It says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. Some, to be sure, preach out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, seeking to cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice because I know this will lead to my deliverance through the prayers and the help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Would you pray with me real quick? Father God, we just want to thank you. We want to just ask that you would help us as we move forward into 2020, that we would go forward with you. Lord, that we would give you honor for everything we do and that we say. And in Christ's name we ask, Jesus' name, amen. All right. So now we're going to jump right back to the beginning. But before we do that, I want to share a little bit about who Paul is. So Paul is this guy in the Bible that with kind of a really shady past. He used to imprison Christians. So he was not a Christ follower. And so he was against everything that we stand for. But at some point, God got a hold of his life and changed him. And now he's even willing to die for Christ. He's writing this letter from a prison cell and this to this church in Philippi. The letter of Philippians is written to the church in Philippi. And this church is really near and dear to his heart because it's one of the first churches that he had started. On somewhere around his second missionary journey, he goes to them, and there's a lot of persecution happening now. And so they have fought with him. They've wrestled through all of this stuff with him. And so they're like co-workers in what Paul is doing and what he's trying to achieve. And so this is really important to him, and they sent him somebody to help him as a helper, and he's sending him back because this guy got really sick, and he's just saying, hey, thank you for this gift, but receive him well because he's sick, but thank you. And so Philippians is really a book all about joy. It's all about the joy that Paul finds, and I just encourage you, if you have a chance, before 2020 hits, you have 2 days, maybe three if you count today, read this. It will really encourage you. It'll help you to see life in a little bit with a little different lens for what Paul has been through. And so verse 12, it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel. And then it says that my imprisonment is for Christ. So hear that. What has happened to me, me going to prison, me going to jail, has actually advanced. This isn't the end of his ministry. Most people would say, hey, if your pastor goes to jail, you were probably done with ministry. Correct? Yeah? I'm not going to try it out. I don't think that would be a good thing if I ended up in jail. 2020 is a new year. I don't plan on going to jail, right? But that's not the case. He's saying, because I'm in jail, it has actually helped to advance the gospel. Paul had always wanted to go to Rome. Throughout his letters, he's always talking about Rome, and I don't think he anticipated that it would be this way, that it would be in chains and shackles with your hands and your feet, through a shipwreck, through getting bit by a snake, through all this time that's taken place. I mean, over the times of Paul's journey to get to where he's at in Rome, now he's saying, I'm so glad I'm in Rome. I'm like, what are you talking about? This isn't a good thing, right? Most of us would say this is not a good thing. But Paul's saying, no, this is a great thing. And it's actually going to be an advancement of the gospel. And the word Paul uses for the advancement of the gospel is a vivid word. It's a Greek word. Its name is prokope. It is used specifically for the advancement of an army. The verb means to remove trees and undergrowth. And today we wouldn't normally say, hey, if we're going to take our army and we're going to advance on something, we're not going to have to go in and remove a whole bunch of trees and debris because it's already been done, right? Most of the world's already been developed and everything. And so we don't really run into that. But where they do kind of remove some of this stuff is from a show that I like to watch. I don't know if you got, does anybody watch Discovery Channel? Discovery Channel fans, right? Okay. There's a show, there's like two. That's great. So there's a show called Gold Rush. Any Gold Rush fans? Okay, not very many. Okay, so let me explain. So they basically take a whole bunch of dirt and they wash it, right? They're miners. So they wash it through what's called a trommel or some kind of way to agitate all the dirt. And then it drops and they run it through water and they wash the dirt and all the heavy gold falls into riffles, right? And then they wash out all the mats that collect all the gold, and they see who gets the most gold at the end of the year. And now that I explain it, it doesn't really sound all that exciting. But I'm telling you, it's a fascinating show, and you got to check it out. But before they can get to the pay dirt, that's the dirt with all the gold in it, right? They have to remove the overgrowth, right? All the trees and everything that's built up on top of it. And sometimes that's like 6 feet deep. That's a lot of dirt to move. And so they take these big bulldozers, and before they can even get paid, it sometimes takes them a month just to prepare the soil so that they can get paid. And so I have a question for you. In 2019, how much overgrowth, how much has been holding you down, or what needs to be removed from your 2019 experience so that you can receive the blessing that Christ wants to give you? See, I think for me, I think sometimes we find ourselves in imprisonment. And that's our first thought for today, is imprisonment. For me, 2019 has been a year of removing some old growth from my life, but not from 2019 per se, but from my childhood. See, there's some stuff in my childhood that I didn't even realize that I had. By chance, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go see a counselor. I've never seen a counselor before in my life. And it wasn't for any one reason. There was no reason. I just thought I was going to, you know, just talk things out. And I realized that there was a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't dealt with. And I was like, man, I got to remove all that so that I can receive the blessings of what Christ has in store for me. Whatever's holding me back. And there's plenty of things also in 2019. When I reflect back on 2019, there's plenty of things that I need to get right even from 2019 as we move in to 2020. But I think that reflection is a normal thing that we do this time of year. But as we reflect, it needs to be done correctly for it to be productive. There's a negative way of reflecting on your life. And I think that's why some of us avoid looking back, because it can sometimes paralyze us in a sense. See, if we reflect with the idea, it can bring us into a state of resentment sometimes. And we can start to resent people around us because of what has been done. And we start to say, you're the reason why I'm here. Or you're the reason that has been done to me. You know, or we can blame the government, right? Or we can blame the church, or we can blame all those, and we can start to resent the things that we think is the problem for why we're in a situation. And that can sometimes lead to regret, right? And then we start to regret what's going on in our life, and we start to really see our own lives in a negative light. And resentment and regret are really the same thing. Regret is just resentment turned inward. See, we start to look around and we can point our finger at a lot of people, and then when we start pointing the finger at ourselves, we're resenting ourselves. And we resent what God has created. And maybe you've had some financial setbacks, loss of a job, unexpected bill. Maybe you've created some bad habits in your life. Maybe you're eating, or your language, you're hanging around people that is creating this language that you're not used to having. Or maybe social media. Social media is eating up your time, and it's causing you to think of life a little bit negatively. And social media can be a real danger because we start to see a different viewpoint of the world. And we've got to remember that we are Christ followers first and foremost, and that we got to see the world from a Christ-like perspective for those of you that have accepted Christ. Maybe you have some old hurts from past relationships through a bad breakup, divorce, broken promise. Maybe your grades haven't been so good this past year. But guess what? June's still coming, and you have a chance to fix all that, right? If we reflect negatively about these things, we'll find ourselves in that state of resentment and regret. But if we see these things as opportunities to remove old growth, we can use this history, we can use the habits, the negative habits or the old hurts, and actually see them as an advancement to the future. The right kind of reflection is demonstrated by Paul while in a Roman prison cell. And it's not really, makes it sound pretty bad, but he's actually in a house. He's actually in a rented house under house arrest, basically. He can have visitors. But he's been there in this state, in this situation of his life for almost 4 years. For almost 4 years, they've been trying to figure out what they're going to do with Paul, either set him free or kill him. And still, after 4 years, there's no resolution for a situation. Yes, Paul exhibits the kind of attitude in Philippians chapter 1 that I'm still trying to see manifested in my own life. And he demonstrates that your spirit does not need to be a reflection of your situation. What I'm trying to say is that you do not need to allow your outlook to be defined by the events that have brought you to this point. Don't allow these things that can imprison you to hold you down, but see them as opportunities to thrust you into the future. Because I don't know about you, but I don't deserve to be up here. And I know that some of us feel like we don't deserve to be in the positions that we're in sometimes. But God has put us there for a reason. With your families, with your friends, with your loved ones, why is God putting people in your life? What is God doing? And if we see that as opportunities for advancement, we'll find that joy that Paul sees in his spirit. Now, he's probably not enjoying what he's going through. Some of you know this, but I'm competitive by nature. And some of you know, some of you don't. Well, this will sum it up. I really don't like to lose at anything. That's why I've stopped playing cribbage with my daughter. Gracie, my youngest, she's beat me twice over the holidays, and I really don't want to play with her anymore. But I'm sorry, I will play with you, but she keeps beating me, and I don't like to lose. You know, in cribbage, you can kind of see that you're going to lose, and you're kind of like, why even play? This is totally not in my notes, but I just have to tell because she was like, she had like two more spots to win, right? And I knew she was going to win. And she's like counting 15-2, 15-4. And I'm like, I'm already done. So I walk around away from the table. She's still counting a run for three. Like, I'm like, she like had 14 points. I'm like, all you needed was two. You could have stopped at two, but no, rub it in a little bit. I not only beat you, I stomped you. But so it was my junior year of high school. I was running cross country, and for whatever reason, I got in trouble from my coach, and I was in trouble a lot. I don't remember why. I block all that out. So I don't remember why I got in trouble, but I got kicked off of varsity. So I was varsity fifth man on the team. I didn't want to work really hard, so I was like okay with fifth man. I was like, I don't like running anyway. So I was fifth man on the team, and he kicked me off of varsity. And I was like, what in the world? That doesn't happen to me. So I was like, I'm going to show him. So I worked hard that next week. I was determined. I was going to work so very hard. And so I ran my guts out. Like I worked out in the weight room. I did everything I had to do. That meet came, and I ran the fastest I've ever ran in my life. And at the end of it, I crossed the finish line, and I'm puking everywhere. And I know that is normally not a good thing, but in this case, it's a good thing, right? Because I left it all out there, literally, right there, right? I was like, whoa, I'm done, you know? And I won my meet, and I was actually third fastest on varsity. And I knew that if I was determined, if I worked hard enough, that I could do it. Because I just knew that about myself. And so I did, and I got back on varsity. But we as people, sometimes we don't like how it feels to go through the tough stuff. But through the tough stuff is really where I, at least for me, have found the most growth in my life. And I think that's what resolutions are all about. That we've got to be resolute, that we've got to decide that the stuff in our past, these things that imprison us, that we are going to get those straight. We're going to get those right. And so how many of you make New Year's resolutions every year? Every year. Some of you, yeah. Okay. I make them every year. Some of them are the same. Some of them I'm good at. Some of them I'm not so good at. Like I'm still waiting magically for my six-pack to reveal itself. It's in there somewhere. You all know that the muscle's there. I just got to remove some things to get to it. And sometimes I don't want to put in the work to get to it. And my patience, when I drive, I'm just waiting for everybody to get to be better drivers so that I'm more patient. So you all figure it out so that you can help me out, okay? That would help solve my resolution for my patience. But really, resolutions are really about decisions. It's just a decision that we've got to make, but we've got to be determined at it. And we like resolutions when they're successful, when we see results. And as a result of what Paul has been through, he has been able to see an advancement of the gospel, even though he's in the midst of a difficult situation. And that's the trick, right? Is that we've got to be resolute even in the midst of difficult situations. You don't have to like the event to celebrate the result. I did not enjoy how I felt during practices or the pace that I had to run in order to get back on varsity, but I was determined, I was motivated, and I was driven towards a goal. A lot of us, when we assess our year, we assess it in how much we enjoyed the different experiences throughout the year. And I've been reading this book by the Heath brothers. And it's really a sociological book, a business book, but it's called The Power of Moments. And it gave a snapshot of what sociologists call the peak end theory. And here's what they say. That when we assess our experiences, we don't average our minute-by-minute sensations. But rather, we tend to remember the flagship moments. We remember the peaks, the pits, and the transitions. They use the example of Disney World, and if they said if you rated your experience at Disney World minute by minute, you would probably rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. You would probably rate it like a 1.7, and you would probably never go. because of all the long lines. How many of you have been to Disneyland, Disney World? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. That's a lot of you. You don't watch Discovery Channel, but you go to Disney. Okay, so confused. So Disney Channel is really good, you guys. Or Disney, did I just say Disney Channel? Oh, that's good too. But what I meant is Discovery Channel. Okay. But that no one would ever go because of the long lines and the heat. And after all, it is a small, small world. You see what I did there? Okay. But we don't do that. But I think if you looked over your 2019 year and you really assessed the minute-by-minute experiences and you saw maybe where God was really taking ground in your life, you might be more encouraged. Instead, you see the peaks, the things that you really enjoyed, the really negative things that you really had a hard time, and the transition out of each of those things. But if you really looked at what God's doing in your life, He's really growing you, even through the difficult things. Because how many of us look back on situations that we've been in that we thought, that is the worst situation ever? And then we look back years later and we go, that was actually not a bad thing because that helped me get to here. And maybe it was your own doing, but God still blessed you through it. That's what's crazy. We serve an awesome God. What I'm trying to help you see is that by faith, by the Spirit of God, you should be able to move through any situation, the good and the bad, and be confident in the outcome. Verse 20 says that my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. By life or by death. Whatever the situation, those encapsulate everything. By life or by death. And in everything that we see Christ glorified. After all, if you're a Star Wars fan or if you're an Avengers fan, you already know before you even watch the show what the outcome's going to be. Even in Avengers, when they leave you on a cliffhanger, you know another show's coming and they're going to avenge everything and it's all going to turn out okay. You're not sitting on your seat going, oh, I don't know if they can do it. Darkness might win this time. No, it doesn't in movies, right? It doesn't. Star Wars, light is going to win. That's what happens. Sorry if you didn't know that, but that's what happens. Christ wins. We win. Did you know that? At the end, we are on the varsity squad. Those who have taken Christ and said, Christ, taken the free gift and said, I want to live for Christ. You're on the varsity squad. We win. So who cares what the outcome is of whatever happens? Because we already know what it is. In your own life, God is going to use whatever happens in your life. We're going to win. Whatever it is. Whatever situation. And I know there's some tough situations going on. And it is not fun. I'm not saying that it's fun to go through them. But we win. Be resolute. Be decisive on the fact that in the end, no matter the situation, we can find joy in the outcome. The last thing that I want to talk to you today about is unity. Paul says, no matter what, or what does it matter, sorry. What does it matter? In verse 15, he says, some to be sure preach Christ out of envy and strife. And in 17, he says, others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely. And then in 18, he says, what does it matter? The older you get, the more you can kind of say that. What does it matter? Who cares? just that in every way, 18b, just in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice because I know that this will lead to my deliverance. What does it matter? Just that Christ is proclaimed. We've got to get over ourselves sometimes. And I think sometimes we look at other churches and we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they are doing that. And do you realize that we're all on the same team? Or we say, hey, the bass is too loud, or there's stains on the carpet, or the fog is too thick. I think we've got to start saying, you know what, we're doing this together. And no matter what it takes, no matter what it takes, we are going to get this thing done because we want to see everybody come to know Christ. And if that requires some deep bass that bothers me, so be it. And the church down the street that we may not agree with, guess what? They're still proclaiming Christ. And it is awesome, and we should be supporting them 120% because Christ will be proclaimed. I want to leave you with this. Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature. Paul, not fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind, and it's not just this reaching, but straining, this going after it as hard as we can. The goal. Who do you have in your life that you're stretching towards so that they come to know Christ? Would you stand with me? As we move forward into 2020, I pray that we would have an unending desire to see Christ glorified, and that we would be talking to people about Christ. We'd be telling them about what he's done to bless our lives. Let me pray with you. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, and we want to pray in advance for what you're going to do in 2020. We're so excited what you're going to do here at C3, but also in every individual life that is here and throughout the world. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.